Hello, and thank you for tuning in to the Trinity Baptist Temple Church Sermons Podcast. At Trinity, we're not just a building. We're a church that teaches the truth, provides fun and safe ministries for our kids and youth, develops relationships by connecting in weekly small groups, hosts loving community events, and more. We love sincerely, connect deeply, and reach sacrificially. Today's sermon will be led by our youth pastor, Jeffrey Holt.
Well, good morning and happy new year again. And I didn't know I was only going to have 10 minutes to preach after Kyle was done. He told me he was just going to introduce me, but you know. But I'm excited about this month, excited about the time to get up here and share what God has laid on my heart and hear from Brother Tony as well. And before I dive into this, just a couple of more announcements before we dive into this is this next Saturday, January 10th, we have our worker meeting. And I just want to encourage you, if you are a worker, if you're looking forward to being a worker or desiring to help in some way in the church, come and be a part of that this Saturday, and we'd love to see everyone there and have that opportunity to be encouraged and to also hear from the individual ministries as well. Second thing is I want to encourage you to be praying this week for the students, for teachers, as they head back to school on Tuesday. Most of them go back on Tuesday, and so if y'all will please be praying for all of them, our administrators, our teachers, and our students, and so let's be lifting them up. And then lastly, I just want to say thank you to our church. Many of you reached out to me personally the past week and a half. I came down with the flu, I think, on Christmas night and had been, fever for four days or so and had it pretty bad. And thank you so much to everyone who reached out and prayed and really, really, really appreciate it. I needed it. And so I'm still have a little stuff clinging, hanging on. And so if I'm not as boisterous as I normally am, I apologize, but I got a little of the crud and it just won't go away. So as me and Tony were talking the past couple of weeks and discussing what we were going to do, I reached out to him and said, listen, I've had a lot of time to pray when I was sick. And God won't leave me alone about the topic of love. He won't leave me alone about the subject of love. And I've preached on it a lot here recently over the past several months as I've been in front of you guys preaching on Sunday nights. And we talked about what love is and how we are to love and the love that God expresses to us. But over the next several weeks, we're going to tackle kind of areas of where we should be portraying this love or who we should be and how we should be portraying this love to one another. And again, our relationship with our spouses, our relationship with our kids, our relationship with God and his relationship to us, and of course, our relationship and our love for one another. And so over the next 4 weeks, kicking off this new year, that's what we're going to be talking about is love. And as I got into this, I came up with the title inspired by something I'll mention here in a moment, I Won't Take Less. And basically, I won't take less than love. And it's a declaration for myself, and I pray that it's a declaration for you, that you'll declare this. I won't take less than God's love, and God won't take less than my love. And inside of our marriages, we won't take less than love for one another. And with our children, we won't take less than love. And with one another, we won't take less than love. The overarching verse here that's going to kind of spur all of this is 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Many people call it the love chapter. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, starting here in verse 1. Paul, saying this to the church at Corinth, he says, if I speak with the tongue of men and of angels, but do not have love, I have become a noisy gong and a clanging cymbal. Paul making it clear, and it's still true for us today, what powerful words that if we speak these words, even if they're beautiful, eloquent words, but they don't have love, they are nothing but noise coming from our mouth. He goes on and says in verse 2, if I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I go on, he goes on, if I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I surrender my body to be burned, but do not have love, it profits me nothing. We know that there are many people around this world who do great and mighty things with the resources and the gifts and the things that they pour out, but a lot of times it's backed by their own personal interests, their own personal gains, and Paul is making it clear that these people have nothing. It is for nothing, and they're doing it for nothing. Without this love, it is nothing. If I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I surrender my body to be burned and don't have love, it profits me nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not jealous. Love does not brag. It's not arrogant. It does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own. It's not provoked. It does not take into account a wrong suffered. It does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but it rejoices with the truth. It bears all things. It believes all things. It hopes all things. Love endures all things. Love never fails. But if there are a gift of prophecies, they will be done away. If there are tongues, they will cease. If there is knowledge, it will be done away with. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial will be done away with. When I was a child, I used to speak as a child, think like a child, reason like a child, but when I became a man, I did away with childish things. For now, here in this life, and we could dive into the interpretation of those scriptures and when all of these things are going to be done away with, but we know that Jesus is coming and we will stand before him one day. For now, we see in a mirror dimly, but then, when this perfect comes, we will see face to face. We will have this perfect knowledge, this perfect prophecy, this perfect truth. Now I know in part, but then I will know fully, just as also I've been fully known. He closes with this, but now faith, hope, and love abide these three. But the greatest of these is love. So like I said, over this next month, we're going to be preaching, we're going to be talking, we're going to be sharing how we are to love one another, how we are to love God. And again, prayerfully, our challenge, our call here is that we won't take anything less, that we won't settle for anything less than love, than for his love and our love for him and our love for one another. Faith, hope, and love, as Paul wrapped this up here in chapter 13, are what one theologian called the main moral principles or the characteristics of Christianity. Faith, hope, and love, the main moral principles. He goes on to say that these graces that should be exemplified in our life, these graces of the Spirit are superior to the gifts of the Spirit. In essence, what he's saying is, and some argue, is that the fruit of the Spirit is maybe more essential or more important than the gifts, or without the fruits of the Spirit, without these graces, without these gifts of grace, the fruit of the Spirit is less effective. And maybe he's even rendered ineffective without the fruit. And I would say that without these graces, in particular love, that I would tend to lean this way myself. That we must display these graces. Faith, hope, and love. They must be evident in our life. Scripture has made it clear here, as we just read. Love is the greatest of these graces. It's the most useful for our lives and unto God and unto others. It's not self-centered. And when it's not self-centered, then it becomes others focused. Then we understand that it's not about us. It's about God. It's about others. It's about these that God has placed in our lives. And so this morning, as we dive into this idea of love, which I would say is the greatest of the graces, the greatest of the fruit that we are supposed to be displaying as his children, I'm going to focus this morning. We are going to focus this morning a bit on marriages. And I want to challenge you this morning, don't check out if you're not married. Sometimes there are those who say, why am I even here? Why do I even bother? I'm not married. I'm not planning on being married. I remember it was just about a year and a half ago. I was sitting in my house with a group filled with young adults. The whole room was filled, and we were going through a marriage, full-blown marriage topic. And they're like, why are we doing this? Why are we going through this, Brother Jeffrey? Why are we studying this? I said, because one day you are going to be married. And now, just a year later, I'm sitting here just before Christmas, and I look around a room full with young people, and almost everyone next to them has a significant other sitting next to them. And I'm thinking, this is why we're talking about marriages. This is why we were going through this 8 to 10 week study over marriage, because it's coming and it's here now. And so if you're here this morning and you're not married, you're single, you're widowed, you're just a young person who's not to that point yet where you're ready to get married, don't check out. There are principles here for each and every one of us this morning, even in ways that we are to love one another inside of marriages and, yes, outside of marriages. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. It says, in the same way, you wives, be submissive to your own husband. Why would Scripture say in the same way? What does this mean? Same way as what? Why would Scripture say that? And sometimes when we read Scripture and praise the Lord, some great theologians went through and divvied up Scripture and gave us chapters and verses so that we can turn to them. But when Peter wrote this letter to the churches here, it was just one big letter. And so it was one continuation of the thought that he had before. And anytime we get to a scripture where it says words like therefore or in the same way, it's talking about something that preceded that in the letter. And so we must go back. So in the same way, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands. And again, in the same way of what? Well, we need to back up a little bit. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 21. It says, for you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example to follow in his steps. And so in the same way, wives, in the same way, just a moment, in a moment, we're going to see husbands. In the same way, in just a moment, we're going to see all of us. As Christ left us this example, follow his way, who committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth. And while being reviled, he did not revile in return. And while suffering, he uttered no threats. But he kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously. And he himself, what an amazing scripture here, bore our sins in his body on that cross, so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness, for by his wounds you are healed. For you were continually straying like sheep, but now you have returned to the shepherd and the guardian of your souls. And so God, Peter saying, and again, inspired by God, saying here, in the same way, wives, in the same way that Jesus came and suffered and died and did these things and was this servant leader, you wives, in the same way, do this thing. Here in a moment, you husbands, do the same thing. You love this way. All the church, love this way, the same way that Jesus came. This is our example. And I want to challenge you first thing here this morning. If you've never heard this good news of Jesus Christ, who came to this earth and did not sin and bore our sins, my sins, your sins on the cross, and then he died and he rose again the third day. If you've never heard that truth this morning, I challenge you. That is the good news. That is the gospel. And I challenge you to accept that truth, to repent of those sins that Jesus bore on that cross, that he bore our sins, our unrighteousness. He bore it on that cross so that we may be made righteous, so that we might live to righteousness. If you'll place your faith and trust in the fact that he came and died and rose again, you'll repent of your sins and confess with your mouth, you can be saved. You can have an eternity with Jesus forever in heaven. And so in this same way, you wives, continue on, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1, in the same way, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands, so that even if any of them are disobedient, excuse me, to the word, that they may be won without a word by the behavior of their wives. Without even a word, just by their obedience, by the way they serve, that the husband might be won without a word by the behavior of their wives as they observe your chaste and respectful behavior. Your adornment must not be merely external, braiding of the hair or wearing gold jewelry or putting on of dresses, but let it be in the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God. For in the same way, in the former times, holy women also who hoped in God used to adorn themselves, being submissive to their own husbands, just as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. And you have become her children if you do what is right without being frightened by any fear. You husbands, in the same way, live with your wives in an understanding way as someone weaker, since she is a woman, and show her honor as a fellow heir of grace of life, so that your prayers will not be hindered. And to sum it up, you husbands do it in this way, you wives do it in this way, all of you be harmonious, sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted, humble in spirit, not returning evil for evil or insult for insult, but giving a blessing instead. For you were called for the very purpose that you might inherit a blessing. Back in October of 1987, way back, who was born in October of 1987? Anybody? No one? Noah was born in October of 1987. Thanks, Noah. I think you're lying, but that's all right. Many of us were around during that time, and there was a guy named Paul Davis, another man named Paul Overstreet. You're like, I don't know who that is. Well, they also came alongside a young lady named Tanya Tucker. You probably have heard of her if you're around in 1987. Well, in 1987, they released a song entitled, I Won't Take Less Than Your Love. I Won't Take Less Than Your Love. And this song went on to become a Billboard number one song in February 1988. And as I was thinking about this title and I don't know, the song came to my mind, and I started to recall some of those songs from way back in yesteryears when I used to listen to that kind of music, and I started looking up the lyrics. And as I was looking up these lyrics, it just started flooding back to me as to why this song became so popular and why it meant so much to so many people. As it began to talk about marriages, it began to talk about mothers and sons and daughters, and as it began to talk about our Lord. and how this is what we long for. Love from one another, love from God, and our love towards Him. And the first verse of that song says, "How much do I owe you?" said the husband to the wife, "for standing beside me through the hard years of my life. Shall I bring you diamonds? Shall I buy you furs?" And some of you ladies are like, "Yeah, diamonds sound pretty good." But don't be like that. Be like the woman in the song, because she said no. And the wife said, "I won't take less than your love, your sweet love. No, I won't take less than your love. All the riches of the world could never be enough. I won't take less than your love." And again, I hope and pray that as we go through this, this will be your battle cry. I won't take less. I won't take less than the love I should be pouring out for God, and then the love I should be pouring out for others. Let's pray this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you in Jesus' name, Lord. We thank you for your word. Thank you for what we've already read, what we've already experienced. Again, hearing a little mini sermon this morning over an altar call and over a clapping of hands and the way we should respond to you. Hearing this great chapter, chapter 13, about love and how without it, God, we are nothing. And so I pray, God, that we won't take less than your love flowing through us. That your love would flow through us in every area of life, whether it be our marriages that we just read about and we're going to expand upon. Whether it be our relationships at home we're going to touch on next week. Whether it be our relationship with you that we mentioned briefly this morning, and how prayerfully everyone in this room has that relationship, has that love for you, and has placed their faith and trust in you. Whether it just be our love for one another, our brother and sisters here in this room, our brothers and sisters around this world. Maybe it's the love for the lost and for others who are in desperate need of the same love that we desperately want to be flowing through us. God, I pray that you would work and move here as we dive into these points, as we hear a little bit more from your truth this morning. I pray that you would give us the things we need. Lord, I pray that you would work and move here in a mighty way. Lord, we love you. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Point number one this morning: love that wins without words. And I want to preface this point this morning by saying that we definitely need to use our words. Communication is key. You go to any marriage counseling or any marriage book or any marriage person or premarital counseling, and they will discuss about communication. Communication is key. But there are times when words aren't necessary. There are times when the way that we live exemplifies our love, that this love that flows through us, it simply embodies who Christ is. Again, it's God's love. I won't take any less than God's love flowing through me. And so again, our text this morning in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 1, "In the same way, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands, so that even if any of them are disobedient to the word, they may be won without a word by the behavior of their wives." And it goes on there and it talks about being chaste and respectful behavior and adorning yourselves, not merely external, but let the hidden person of the heart, which is imperishable, verse 4, that be of a quality, a quiet, a gentle spirit, which is precious in the sight of God. To challenge us right here at the beginning of the year, those of us who are and do have spouses, that this true love that's flowing from us, that it's actually lived out in our homes. It can't be something that's on display just for a few moments on a Sunday morning, but it must be displayed all throughout the year, moving forward. True love must be displayed. It must be on display and not argued. It must be on display and a persuasive power that is exemplified in our life through this love that flows through us. Listen, words will fail. Words will fall short. We will make mistakes. We will say things we wish we hadn't, and we will want them to just come flowing back to us. But at that point, they're already done. They're already out there. But love will never fail. It has a persuasive power even when our words do fail. This is a few weeks ago now, and I was coming by my wife's classroom for something. I can't remember what it was now, but as I walked into the classroom, I explained to her what I needed, and she explained to me why I didn't need that, and then we had a little bit of back and forth, and it was just a discussion. It was just a loving discussion. It truly was. I'm not being sarcastic in that. It was just me and her loving one another, having a discussion, talking about whatever it was we were talking about. I walked out of the classroom, and I think I took her car, went and got it washed for something. I can't remember what was going on. But later that evening, she said, "You're not going to believe what happened after you left." And I said, "Well, what was that?" And she said, "My whole classroom, every single student in that classroom, was commenting on how amazing it was that our disagreement went so peacefully. And it was operated in love, and we moved in love." And they said, if that had happened in our home, if that had happened between my mom and dad, things would have been completely different. It would have ended in a knockdown, drag out fight. I'm not saying that we're perfect. There's times that I've definitely uttered words to my wife that I wish I could take back. But this love that we display, this love that we should say, "I don't want anything less than love flowing through me, God. I want your love flowing through me," should be a persuasive power even when words fail. And again, I think it's, yes, very clearly directed to wives here, but I think it's a principle for all believers that love should be the persuasive power when words fail. Love is expressed through respect, through Christ-like character, and not merely control. It's not through manipulation. It's not through constant correction. Again, it's through Christ-like behavior, Christ-like love, Christ-like love flowing through us. I want to say this also, it's not silence in the face of harm. If you're in a desperate situation, you need to seek help. You need to find that help. You need to make it known. But it's also a call to let love, this behavior of love, speak louder than the conflict. Love chooses grace over resentment. There's going to be times when our spouses fall short, when they don't meet expectations, and we need to be on guard against that. We'll talk about that here in a moment. But this love, this grace, this love that flows through us must go over resentment. Again, love reflects Christ even when the other person falls short. Love flows from a heart transformed by God. Truly letting God transform our heart and make the way that we interact with one another be His ways and not our own. Love flows from a heart, from the heart, and not outward performance of the other person. I challenge you, if you're here at the beginning of the year and you're in a struggling marriage, let love flow through you. Let love flow through you and not try to fix your spouse, but fix the love that's flowing through you and make sure it's a way that represents Christ well. 1 Corinthians 13:1, we read it a while ago. It says, "If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I've become nothing more than a noisy gong and a clanging cymbal. There's some sayings that are in our world that sometimes we say them and we hear and we think, man, that's a nice saying. That's a nice phrase. And one that's uttered often is that love speaks louder than words. Love speaks louder than words, but I believe this phrase, this thing that so many people have uttered and said throughout generations comes directly from Scripture. I believe that Paul is uttering this right here, this love that we speak, this love that we have, it speaks louder than words. Again, words without love only create noise. They only create noise, but love expressed through the character that flows through us, through the power of God, that reaches the heart. And so if you are in a relationship, if you are in a marriage, if you are in something that's just not going the way it's supposed to right now, let God work through you. Let His love flow through you. Love speaks louder than words. Point number two this morning. We need to have a love that honors and understands. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, again, it says, you husbands, in the same way, like Christ came and was a sacrificial love, the sacrificial payment for us, you husbands, in the same way, live with your wives in an understanding way as with someone weaker, since she is a woman, and show her honor as to a fellow heir of grace. Man, listen to those words there, husbands, as a fellow heir of grace, so that your prayers will not be hindered. Biblical love values. Biblical love protects. Biblical love honors those people that are placed in their lives. And men, this is our call as husbands. This is our call to lead our wives with value, with protection, and with honor. To love with understanding, to love in gentleness, to love in honor. This is not dominance. This is not some subservient person that lives with us. This is how we are to lift them up. It is a servant leadership rooted in love that flows through us. And us husbands here this morning, we must declare, I won't take any less. I won't take anything less for you, God, and I won't take anything less in my home. I won't take anything less for my spouse. I will love in a servant leadership role. Guys, men, we actually have to listen. Believe it or not, I know. There's times where it starts sounding like, what's that cartoon with the mom that never really talked, and it was always wah, 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 wah. It was like the Muppets or something. Yeah, the Muppets. That's what we hear. Guys, stop that. We must listen. Love listens. Love protects. Again, it values our wife as an equal heir of grace. We must seek to understand. I'll say this gently, even when they're so hard to understand. We must seek to understand. Even when it is hard to understand. To not overpower. To honor them when the emotions come. To honor them in their spiritual vulnerability. Men, our wives demand us to lead them spiritually. And if it's something you haven't been doing in your home, now's the time to start. This brand new year, this 2026, now's the time to start leading your wives spiritually. Love recognizes that how we treat our spouse affects our walk with God. It says that our prayers will be hindered. What a powerful scripture. What a sobering scripture. When love is absent, our spiritual walk, our spiritual relationship with God suffers. When this love that's supposed to be flowing through us, that we're declaring this morning, I won't take any less, when it's absent, it says that our spiritual walk, our spiritual relationship will be hindered. Our prayers will be hindered. But when love is restored, marriages are restored, prayers are restored, our relationship with God is restored, our walk with God is restored, and all of these things are strengthened. And so if this is something that's been missing in your marriage, missing in your relationship, start this morning. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25, it says, "Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her." Peter reminding the people here, reminding us from his word, in the same way as Christ did this, love your wives. Biblical honor, biblical love, biblical honor is a sacrificial love. Husbands are called to reflect Christ's self-giving love, which protects, as I said a while ago, which honors, which values, which nurtures, and is never diminishes. Point number three this morning, we need to have a love that breaks the cycle of hurt. Here's the truth. In a room this size, there's some marriages that are hurting. There's some marriages that are going through some things. Some marriages that are right now in this room going through the ringer, and the love, this love that we have that flows through us, God's love that flows through us, it's going to be the thing that breaks the cycle, that breaks the hurt, that stops the pain. It's God who can do this. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 8, to sum it all up, all of you be harmonious, all of you husbands, wives, all of you be harmonious, sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted, humble in spirit, not returning evil for evil or insult for insult, but giving a blessing instead. For you are called for this very purpose, that you might inherit a blessing. True love that flows from God refuses to repay pain with pain. Refuses, because they've done something wrong to me, I'm going to do something wrong with them. True love that flows from God, that we're saying, I won't take any less than this, it refuses to repay pain with pain. Again, Peter widening the lens here, if you will, looking at both parties, looking at all, he says, love looks like unity. Love looks like compassion. Love is humble. Love is a blessing. Even when hurt has been real. Looking for these opportunities to truly put others over ourselves, inside of marriages, outside of marriages. But in particular, again, I want to speak to those marriages that are struggling this morning. And I want to challenge you to avoid retaliation at all costs, because all retaliation does is deepen the wounds. But this love that flows through us, it interrupts the cycle, as our point has just stated. This love interrupts the cycle of hurt. It interrupts the cycle of these wounds that are just being deepened. True love that flows from us and through God, it responds with blessing instead of bitterness. It chooses humility over pride. And it reflects Jesus Christ in the way that he came and sacrificed for us. Jesus loved us when we were broken. He bore our sins on that tree. He loved us when we were broken, and we are called, husbands and wives, to love one another in our broken states. Not just husbands and wives, but all of us. Romans chapter 12 and verse 17, it says, never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. Our response to hurt should be blessing. Our response to hurt should be blessing. A love that refuses to retaliate, that chooses the higher road, that chooses to go the opposite direction when this hurt, maybe ugly words, whatever it might be, come against us, we choose the higher road of grace and love. I used to have a classroom right over here in the corner, and it's the art room now. But one day I was sitting at my desk, and I looked up at the ceiling for some reason, was getting ready to walk out. And I noticed a little bow in the ceiling, and I thought, man, that doesn't seem right. And came back the next week, and the bow had significantly gotten worse, and the sheetrock was beginning to crack a little bit in that room. And I thought, man, I need to get up in the attic and check out what's going on. And sure enough, there was a lot of heavy material on that one section, that one span of the joist or the beam up there in that attic. And I went over there, and I began removing the weight from that area to lessen the load that was going on. But I knew that wouldn't be enough because the structure had been compromised. It was definitely cracked or broken or something. So I began to peel away the layers of subfloor, and sure enough, that beam, that 2x10 had cracked. It had split right down the middle, and it actually transferred the load over to the next one, and it had begun to crack. Sometimes it's like that in our marriages that are struggling. If one little support is weakened, the entire roof, the entire structure is at risk. But I would challenge us, church, when we see moments like this where things are weak, that we come alongside these things that are weak and we strengthen them. I had to get a jack and jack up that beam and get a couple more 2x10s and sandwich that thing together and run bolts through it and strengthen it back up and put a new subfloor down. And that's what it's like when others come alongside things that are weak. We strengthen one another. The home can now stand firm. The ceiling can be straight. It can put the weight back on it. It can stand the test of life, the storms, the trials. When a marriage is struggling, it's not always because love is gone, but because the weight has become too heavy. Arguments, disappointments, grief that we've even gone through together as a couple, and yet without communications, it seems like we're going through it alone. Exhaustion, as I mentioned earlier, unmet expectations. Again, talk to any marriage counselor or go through any premarital counseling, and we'll see that these expectations are something that we need to be on guard against. They cause the structure to sag, if you will. Love grows weary when it's carrying everything alone. It's carrying the burden, the weight. And God never intended for marriages to be this way. He never intended for marriages to stand or to try to support themselves alone. I believe this is why Peter wraps up this section here at the end. And he's not just talking to husbands. He's not just talking to wives. But he says in verse 8, all of you come alongside one another and strengthen one another and be brotherly to one another. Love one another. Do these things. Let this love flow through you. Don't just sit back and be silent when you see things happening. No, do the work. Put in the work. Put in the effort to love one another. It's the calling of the body of Christ. And so the challenge this morning to those of us who are married, choose love that flows from God. Let it reflect Christ. A love that listens, men, again, a love that listens. A love that honors. A love that blesses even when it's hard, to say, I won't take anything less. Again, to those in this room who are not married, to those who are widowed, I want to challenge you this morning. Your wisdom, your prayers, your compassion, they matter deeply. Listen, you understand love. You understand loss. You understand faithfulness. And you can come alongside these younger couples that are coming into marriage, getting married, about to be married, just married. You can come along those who are struggling, couples who you see the structure has been compromised, and you can strengthen them when they're feeling weak. And I just want to say, man, some of the greatest blessings have been from some of this very group. These who are widowed, who've come alongside me and my wife and say, hey, we want to pour into you. Here's a gift card. Don't stop dating your wife. Keep going. Keep working. Keep doing these things. Some of the greatest blessings have come from these very people who've come alongside us and strengthened us. It's for the whole body. To the unmarried, thrive in your singleness. Keep praying for those married couples around you to be those living examples of God's love flowing through them. You're not on the sidelines. You're not just some outcast. You're not someone who's just alone inside this church. No, your encouragement, your accountability, your prayer can hold up marriages that feel close to collapse. Listen, you might not be called to fix a marriage. You might not be called to counsel a married couple, but you're called to support it. You're called to come alongside these marriages and support them. And so if you're here, no matter what category, married, widowed, unmarried, single, divorced, it doesn't matter. You are called to support marriages. These strong marriages will make up a strong church, and we shouldn't take anything less. Sometimes the most powerful act of love is not necessarily the advice that you have to give, but it's simply your presence being there, coming alongside these marriages and supporting and praying for them. Not necessarily solutions, but prayer. Not judgment, but blessing. When the church loves like this, when we refuse to return evil for evil, instead we choose to give blessing, marriages are strengthened. These homes that maybe have been compromised or weakened, they are stabilized, and God is truly honored. Might be a little cheesy, but when love holds up the ceiling, the house will stand. The house will stand. So I don't know about you this morning, but I won't take anything less. I won't take less than his love for me, my love for him, my love for my spouse, my love for my children, and my love for others. And I hope and pray this month as we go through this, we'll have the same declaration. I won't take anything less. Heavenly Father, we come to you in Jesus' name, Lord. Thank you for this morning. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the truths that are in it, God. And I pray that no matter what situation we're in this morning, whether it be married, unmarried, single, widowed, that we would make this our cry this morning. God, we won't take anything less than your love flowing through us and our love being poured out for others. It would be evident in our lives, even when our words fail, it would be abundantly clear. Even if we're not called to fix or counsel or help with marriages, it would be evident in the way that we pray, the way that we talk, the way that we uphold people who are married and these even maybe marriages that we know that are going through it right now. And I pray that we would do our part as a church to come alongside and strengthen, to uphold, to be these support beams that are scabbed on, if you will, that are bolted together and just strengthening and upholding one another. God, I do pray for those marriages that are struggling, Lord. I pray that this new year, time when it seems to be a time of renewal, time of new beginning, that they would heed this message this morning, that they would truly pour out their love for you, their love for one another. They would seek to truly honor and respect the other. And again, your call for love is to put others over ourselves, that it would be evident in their marriage, and that it would heal the wounds and the structure that's been compromised. God bless now as we stand, as we have a moment of invitation this morning. And I do pray once again, there's someone here who doesn't know you as Lord and Savior. They would find one of us ministers. They would find someone in the back or at the Welcome Center. And they would have someone show them in God's word exactly what it means to be saved. Bless now as we stand. We ask all this in Jesus' name.
Thank you again for listening to our podcast. If you would like to learn more about Trinity Baptist Temple or join us for our weekly services, visit our website at tbtchurch.org. You can also catch our weekly services live on Facebook and our YouTube channel. We hope to see you again very soon. Bye!